Today is Monday, August 22, 2022, and you are listening to Cafecito Break New York Freedom Rally Mondays. Stand by, community members.
Mira, nosotros tenemos mucha mezcla.
There's a lot of coming together from different angles, chants, but it's working out.
Esto es mezcla chants. Find the remix. Mezcla chants.
It's the remix.
There's the remix. The people. We're the people who not comply. We're the people who not comply. We, the people. Despierta Nueva York. This is Tita's funny mic.
Will not comply. We, the people, will not comply.
I need people to understand this. If we don't stop this at the root, because this is like a tree, right? We need to cut it from the ground. And we need to put a new system that is run by the people and for the people, not by the globalists and their own personal agenda. This system that we have in place was set up only for a certain percentage group of people. They call themselves the elites, and I don't know who appointed them. They are the 1% that have hoarded the majority of our wealth, and we're supposed to believe that these people cared about us. If you cared about me, you would not send me down to the unemployment line and the poverty line.
Oh, so much to talk about today, but there's one more video because there's an anniversary approaching for the New York Freedom Rally.
The genocidal culture that permeated the Nazi regime did not end in 1945. It metastasized in the United States. At the end of the war, U.S. government agents helped 1,600 high-ranking Nazi scientists, doctors, and engineers to evade justice at Nuremberg. These Nazi technocrats facilitated the murderous Nazi operations. They were Hitler's partners in crimes against humanity. They were secretly smuggled into the United States under Operation Paperclip. And this was done in violation of an explicit order by President Harry Truman. These Nazi criminals were placed in high positions at major American scientific centers as well as medical centers, and they continued their work. What's more, these Nazi technocrats trained a generation of American scientists, doctors, and engineers. This is how Nazi methods and the immoral disregard for human values were entrenched in America.
Mi gente, welcome to Cafecito Break, New York Freedom Rally Mondays. I'm your host, Rosangel Perez, and today is August 22nd, 2022. March for Justice this Thursday, August 25th. Let's meet at 3 p.m. This is a New York Freedom Rally. Look, we were a year ago. Let's meet in Brooklyn, 65 Court Street at the DOE at 4:30. There's a rally at City Hall at Broadway and Murray. And on mandates, hashtag hands off our kids, hashtag let us work. I'm going to repeat that information, mi gente. March for Justice, please share this far and wide. New York Freedom Rally, there's all a bunch of sponsorships here, people who are collaborating, Teachers for Choice, Children's Health Defense, New York Chapter, New York Du Jour Assembly. We have the president of New York Du Jour Assembly with us today, Public Square, the New York Alliance for Vaccine, Bravest for Choice, Autism Action Network is some of the sponsors. And if you want to give to this beautiful cause, the New York Freedom Rally has created a Give, Send, Go. where you can make a donation, mi gente. There's a lot of people who are always, you know, and when I get this, especially from people who are outside of the city or maybe even you live outside of the United States, but if you want to make a donation to the New York Freedom Rally, go to GiveSendGo, GiveSendGo.com/NYFR, which stands for New York Freedom Rally, GiveSendGo.com/NYFR, which stands for New York Freedom Rally. Help the community shine brightly. We are living in historical times, mi gente, and a lot of people are able to, you know, do many things. Some people hand out flyers. Some people are digital warriors. Some people share the news. We can all be a part of this fight because it is. It's a fight for justice, mi gente, a fight for justice. There are still people out of work. They are still messing with the kids. They are still messing around with these mandates. Do you know that there are still churches asking for vaccine passports? It's just, show me your vaccine card, excuse me. So without further ado, I want to introduce you to a guest who's been on with us before, Jeannie Vega, who is the president of New York Du Jour Assembly. Jeannie, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. Great to be here again.
How are you today?
I'm okay. Doing well. How about you?
Really good. Really good. Always happy to chat with you.
Absolutely.
The conversation that we had the last time doesn't leave me. The synchronicities, the connections that we made, it left me feeling like some of us who have been called to this fight, we are here for, it was almost like life positioned us or ordained us to be in this fight. And you are serving this fight in many different ways, not just as the president of New York Du Jour, which I would love you to please, you know, for those who are learning about it for the first time, to, if you could give a little summary, and also your role as a parent in this whole endeavor since this whole thing started.
Sure. So New York Du Jour is I don't want to say a movement, but it's a collective of people who, men and women here in New York, that have come together. And this is something that has been done in the past with different things. So back in the Civil War times, people did oversee government. It's the men and women of counties that did all that. In other words, there were no three-letter agencies that were supposed to oversee government. It was the people. So we're doing nothing more than bringing forth the original government for the people, by the people. And we see that government in general, no matter what political party is in power, is not working for the people. And that's because there's no repercussions to their actions. We're supposed to get the last say in everything. And instead, they have diverted us into political issues. They have politicized every issue, whether it be your sexuality or your religion or you making up your own medical decisions. Everything has become a politicized issue. And they do that purposely to create two sides of the spectrum. And we focus more on each other rather than the people that are creating the problem. And those are the people in government. Nobody's actually solving any problems. So, you know, back when we first started, kind of with the religious exemption back, you know, about 10 years ago, I've been in the game. My son is 9 now. So the Republicans were actually not friendly with medical freedom. They believed that your child should be vaccinated. And the Democrats were more inclined to be in favor of medical choice, right? And that kind of switched in 2019. There were more Democrats that were in favor of, you know, mass vaccination, mandatory vaccination, and Republicans were more inclined to speak about your religious right. They did not want to have the conversation whether, you know, vaccines were safe and effective. That conversation they didn't want to have. You weren't allowed to walk into their office and question the safety or efficacy. But you can have the conversation as whether it should be a choice, right? And that really created the narrative that we're seeing today, is that you couldn't have that conversation with either party, with anybody sitting in government, because it was a career killer. And there were some Republicans and Democrats that were willing to have that conversation and spoke on behalf of the people. So it wasn't as the vote in a sense, to repeal religious exemption was a partisan vote, but the fight on the floor was bipartisan, and there were people who were willing to stand up, you know, as representatives, assembly members, and senators who were willing to stand up. And I just saw that politics over people. And when we lost the religious exemption and we headed to the courts, I watched it fail. Right? I watched complete tyranny, and I watched the lawyers come back and claim tyranny. But then, where do we get remedy if everything is tyranny, if government is tyranny, if the courts are tyranny? And that's kind of where we met up with people who said, well, you take things into your own hands. You don't depend on lawyers. You don't depend on public servants to get it done. Because the American legal system is rigged against the people. If you go back and you really read their dictionaries and the way that they've changed the definition of words, you can see how that they've enslaved people. And I'm not saying that all lawyers are bad or attorneys are bad, but remember that the Bar Association is nothing more than a private club, and they're always afraid of losing that private club card. So that takes precedent, and they are officers of the court, and their allegiance is to the court before it's to anyone else. They take an oath to that court, to the state, and then somewhere along the line you come into effect. But if you just read the definition of words and how they have changed that, and changed the very meaning of words that you use on an everyday basis, this is why we need to get educated. And if people got educated and were able to handle their own affairs, they would be able to combat the tyranny much better. We're doing it as a group, but in all reality, we would be so much stronger if people backed, just men and women of New York backed what we were doing, even if they were a little suspect and they didn't want to actually sign documentation. Just to back the efforts of the assembly really goes a long way, because in the beginning, you know, this with people being, you know, forced to take a shot for their livelihoods, if there was mass noncompliance, if the people, the few people who stood up and didn't and decided, I'm not going to do this no matter what, you know, people from Bravest for Choice, for Cops for Freedom, right? You know, if everyone stood up and you know, with a brotherhood and said mass noncompliance, we're not going to do this. We'll shut stuff down. The city will get shut down. If we would have really done that, then where does their power lie? Because governments only draw their power from the governed. We give in. But here in New York, a lot of us are slaves to the government, where we are employed by the government. And my husband, New York City firefighter as well, you know, you see how quickly they have kind of herded us into making sure that they have power over us, because they're not coming to your house one by one to force vaccinate. They keep saying that, right? We can't do that, right? We can't do that. We can't afford. Nobody's holding you down. We heard Jeffrey Dinowitz say it on a panel when he was speaking. And they think just because they're not holding you down that it's not forced, right? But it is coercion, and that is covered under the Nuremberg Code. And there are ways to use U.S. codes to coincide with the Nuremberg Code. Here in the United States, we just need to get educated and then do the series of notices called a due process of law, which is what the New York de jure uses. So we handle everything in the private. We don't go into their American legal system right away. We handle it in the private. We let them know of their violations. We let them know how they can come into constitutional compliance. We give them time. And if they don't, then that's when they'll be in default, and then we can hold them accountable. That's kind of where we're at with a few of the public servants that we have served notice to, Eric Adams being one of them. And right now, what we're in the middle of is taking all of those documents, the notices, the series of notices from the due process of law, that we've handled this situation in the private, and now we're bringing it to the public by getting it on public record. We do that by going to a county clerk, and we ask them to put it on the record on the miscellaneous. Now, here in the city, they don't know their job. So they have no idea what we're talking about, how to get it done, and they're not interested in learning their basic responsibilities, literally why their job position was created. All they know how to do is take money from us, right? And that's in permits and licenses and paying off fines. This is the only thing that the county clerk here in New York City does. But somewhere like in Monroe County, where we do have a de jure county assembly set up, the county clerk actually offered it to them without them asking, because that county clerk knew their basic responsibilities. So this is what we're attempting to do now. One way or another, we're going to get it done. And that will better help our chances for when we file in the courts against Eric Adams, which we will file in the administrative courts. We are not hiring a lawyer. We do not believe in hiring attorneys. Again, they are offices of the court. So everything is done on paper, administrative-wise. We don't step into a kangaroo court and give over our jurisdiction to the courts, where that judge now becomes your honor, is in charge of the world. So we do things a little bit differently. The way things were done before, they enslaved us and they made us believe through indoctrination, through their indoctrination camps, that we need them for everything we do. There's literally nothing we can do. It's why all of the businesses, right, all these businesses had to comply, or they would be hit with all these fines from the Department of Health and, you know, get their license, their liquor licenses taken away. And it's because of the way we're opening our businesses. We're opening our businesses, giving over the jurisdiction, giving authority to the government and the government agencies. There's ways to do things. We just need to get educated. And once we do, and people are going to need to avoid all of this phony authority, this illusion of authority, because they really don't have it. We're checking boxes to literally volunteer. So it's getting educated so we can better handle our own private affairs and not be slaves. And then working as the men and women of New York to get public servants working for us, because right now they're working for lobbyists, they're working for corporations, they're working for the elite. Whoever is pulling the strings, it's not us. And they are puppets to someone. And that obviously that someone has some nefarious agenda, and we see it, you know, panning out, right? And it's up to us to get a grip on things and to get people say, well, why don't you go after Bill Gates? Because he's not a public servant. He's not a public servant. And right now, people that are getting paid off by a Bill Gates, by a Soros, by, you know, whoever it is, whoever your favorite, you know, villain is, you know, the point is that there's people doing their dirty work that are literally taking an oath to serve us. And we just need to hold them to it. Then after that, we can direct their courts to hold those other people accountable. But we need to get a grip, because none of these systems are working for us. They're literally broken. They need to be taken apart and put back together by the people. So that's their big goals. But I do believe that this is the only way. I don't believe that we can fix their system from the inside. And I know some people get upset about that. But if we were able to fix it from the inside, it would have been fixed already. There have been plenty of times where we've had a trifecta of this political party, a trifecta of this political party, you know, out of the Republican trifecta, federal government. We got a Patriot Act. We got FISA. We got things that literally, stomp on our rights, that set the stage for what's happening now. So both parties have contributed to the enslavement of the people. Bankers have contributed to the enslavement for the people, and absolutely attorneys. Even though, you know, obviously there's good people everywhere that really wanted to get into things the same way doctors. Some people became doctors because they wanted to help people, and now they're nothing but drug pushers, right? So, I mean, we see how things have been convoluted and misconstrued through the years, where people, good people have been steered wrong. And it's up to us to fix things. No one is coming to save us except us. So the assembly is about educating and then actually putting in the work ourselves, rather than passing the baton to someone else and expecting them to do it. So that's exactly what we're doing and what we're in the middle of right now. It's a lot of stuff, but we're working.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that sounds like a lot of stuff. Now, me having had the opportunity to have spoken with you and a few members of the New York du jour assembly and people who are learning from you, I have to say, just from the outsider's perspective, is that there is a assuredness in which people that are learning this information start speaking with. This power, this self-empowerment that has been lacking so much, when it is easy to feel helpless when all of a sudden the world is telling us we must shut down, you must close your business. Like, I saw so many people comply. As someone who has a small business, I saw how they bullied people into compliance. They all of a sudden you started getting people who had official little outfits with city information about what you needed to do and what you couldn't do, unless you might get fined. Like the bully, the way people were bullied, the way we were coerced. Yeah, maybe people weren't coming to our doors. But I mean, if I'm not mistaken, I have heard politicians imply that they would be knocking on people's door. I mean, I've heard people getting phone calls. People are on lists getting phone calls. Like, I've seen you haven't gotten the jab. Mm-hmm. Like, what kind of protections are in place, or what can someone do who's like, look, I'm tired of this harassment. I didn't believe in this before. I don't know what to do. Like, I mean, people in New York City are really confused, and I'm hearing from people who are like, okay, I see how this party has betrayed me. Like you said, there's bad apples in both parties. What do we do here? What are we even doing here? Like, what are the guidances that you are giving to people who are just so confused? They don't even know what first step to take.
Well, for one, I would stop putting so much effort into. So I'm not saying don't vote, right? That's not what I'm saying. But because I do think that we need constitutionally compliant public servants, but I'm not sure what good it will do if there's no repercussions for their actions. So if at any point they do decide, I watched two, you know, very Republican conservative councilwoman get up and tell us what a great guy Eric Adams is and how he wants to bring New York back after they were literally, you know, elected because they felt the same way as the people, that this guy was just as bad as de Blasio. And we're seeing that he may even be worse, right? I think he's that much more narcissistic than de Blasio was. At least de Blasio was trying to be politically correct because he was a white man, right? This guy, there's no holds barred the way he speaks to people. So I think that he may be worse because he's a very important person. He's always wanted to be a very important person. You've seen that with his career path. He's always wanted to be the most important person in the room, and now he has the ability to do so. He did have that talk out in, you know, with in Washington and Martha's Vineyard, where he went to go visit. So I think that there's entirely too much focus on who's going to get in when the system itself is broken. So I think that people need to take a step back and really stop focusing on other people and focus on themselves. I think that's the first thing. Your power. Stop giving that power over to somebody else. And then when they don't get the job done, you're upset about it, right? You're disappointed. If you want something done right, you have to do it yourself. So the way to do that, honestly, and you've seen in the past where people, they get empowered when they know their rights, and a cop pulls them over and they could push that cop back in their squad car. You can't illegally search my car. No, I'm not going to open my trunk because I know my rights. No, I won't open the glove compartment, right? Jay-Z made a whole song about it, right? There's a whole verse in the song about how you can be empowered simply by knowing your rights and being able to articulate those rights. And it's that, but on a much larger level, to be able to write notice, right? To let these people know what they are in violation of, how they're violating your rights, how your natural born God-given rights, nothing on a piece of paper, no mere mortal gives you your rights. That piece of paper, that Constitution, means nothing to us. It's just something that these people, these public servants, take an oath to. So you're just trying to hold them accountable for that oath, right, that they've taken. And there are penalties within their system if they break that oath. But you don't have constitutional rights. The Constitution, again, means nothing to you because you have not taken an oath to that Constitution. So because of that, you're not a U.S. citizen. No matter how many times you check a box to be a U.S. citizen, you're not going to be one. Because a U.S. citizen is someone who has taken an oath to the Constitution. Now, if you're a naturalized citizen and you have taken an oath to the Constitution, it gets a little tricky. But the majority of us were born on this land. And it belongs to us. It doesn't belong to any government. So no one can put a label on you unless you agree to that label. That's what's happening. We're agreeing to a lot of things because we're ignorant to who we are and who they are. Once we get educated about who we are, we can better combat the tyranny. So there are ways to protect your business, filing a certain way, creating a business under a PMI, things of that nature to protect your business. Because once we do get, you know, start checking boxes and get involved in the state and get all of these licenses, because there's no such thing as a lawful license. No matter how many times people are going to say, I'm going to protect my license, you know, this license is lawful. There's no such thing as a lawful license. You don't need a license to do anything. Now, if you're trying to get around the system with insurance and things of that nature, then yes, you're going to need a license, but it's never going to be a lawful, and you're never going to be able to protect it, because it was given to you, and anything given to you can be taken away. That's exactly how it works. So if you accept something from a mere mortal, then you're going to accept that mere mortal and their agencies can take it away from you if you don't adhere, right? But your natural born rights given to you by God, the universe, whatever it is that you believe in, no one can take that away. No one can take them away. And it's up to you to be able to educate yourself and to articulate them. So you can, these are things that are done. People do them all the time. It's just not out there because they don't want you to know your true power. So there are, I mean, I won't mention them here because we really should get a list together that's not affiliated with the assembly of where people can get educated about personal rights, about your personal, how to do, you know, handle your businesses, how to handle your personal life, right? Your marriage, your house, things of that nature. So these are things that people need to get educated about in their everyday life, where we hand the baton to somebody else and then we can't believe how much money we owe. We can't believe how much authority the city and the state and these three-letter agencies have in our business, in our home, in our relationships over our children, right? And the only way to combat this is for us to understand that they actually don't have that authority, but we need to be able to articulate that. So it starts, I mean, I think on the assembly, the problem is Thursdays can run long. We may start having more workshops. Like this Thursday, we're going to have a workshop. Ray Velez from, he is the vice president of the New York Du Jour, also with New York Freedom Rally. He, at some point on Thursday, I know we have that big rally, which I will be there as well. Afterwards, we are probably going to hold an affidavit workshop so people can learn to write affidavits. We're going to need them. The reason for the affidavits is because we are filing against Eric Adams. And we need people who were harmed by Eric Adams to come forth and provide these affidavits, which would solidify our case, right? Because they're going to claim that no actual person was harmed. We can claim otherwise and probably win, but it just shuts it down and it makes our case so much stronger that there were actually men and women harmed by this person, right? So I would definitely give the advice to start looking for education outside of college, education outside of government programs, outside government-ran education, because it's all going to be indoctrination so they can always have power, because if they control the process, they control the outcome. So you want to get out of that and find things that may be outlandish, right? It's outlandish because you've been indoctrinated to believe that it's outlandish, similar to not taking a vaccine, similar to not getting on chemotherapy, right? And doing something natural. We've been herded into believing these things, and we need to just break the cycle, step outside the box, and be a critical thinker with everything, including how you run your business, including how you raise your children, how you handle your finances, your personal finances. All of these things can be handled outside of the government. It's just about learning. And once people do that, where is their power? Where is their power? There is none, because again, they only draw their power from the government. So if we stand up and say, this isn't it. I'm not with this. I don't agree. I don't volunteer to be in your jurisdiction, or I don't volunteer to give you the authority that you claim that you have. If you question that and you know how to articulate your rights, things start crumbling for them rather quickly. And if we can do that in unison in the masses, imagine how powerful that will be. First of all, government will be a quarter of the size it is now, because when people lose their career path and the ability to line their pockets with these corporations and lobbyists, you'll see people not want the job real quick. So anybody who really wants to serve the people would be more than welcome to be there, but you're going to do your job. And your one job is to protect my rights. It's not to make yourself money. It's not to push your political ideologies on anyone. It's not to politicize every single issue, because none of this is anything that was your job to begin with. It's literally to protect my rights. And if we say no at any time, then you're going back to the drawing board to do it again. And that we have to have that boss energy that we don't have now. Right now, we look at politicians as some type of movie stars. Look at the way people look at Obama and Trump, right? It's borderline pathetic, honestly. These people are they're no better than you. They're not on a higher level than you. They're actually feeding off your energy. They're feeding off of it. And that's exactly how they keep this illusion of authority, by literally feeding off your energy. And that's why you got to come together and you got to create a different type of energy. And that energy is, there is no one above me but my creator. Whoever it is that you believe, I believe it's God, right? There's no one above God, no one. And there is no one acting as God, no one. So I take orders from no one, right? But my mom, I'm a little afraid of my mom. So other than that, that's it. And that's the energy that everyone should have, to be quite honest. And then get the education to back that. Because we can say a lot of things, you don't have authority over me, but you need to be able to have the education and articulate your rights in a certain way to back that. And that's where people have to put in the work. And a lot of people have become complacent with just passing the baton to somebody else. And that's where you see it now, you know, with class action lawsuits, and they get dismissed and they get thrown out and you wait 5 months. And I've been there, because I wrote a federal affidavit for the religious repeal for a federal lawsuit there. So it's not like I haven't done these things. It's not like I haven't campaigned for different people who were running against these tyrants in Albany. I've done a lot of things before I did this. This is not a gimmick to me. This is literally the only way, because I've done everything else and I've been at the foot of my bed with my head in my hands, knowing that everything, all the hard work that I just did was in vain. So I've dedicated my life to finding this path. I've done everything else. So that's why I refuse to go backwards and do any of the things that people are asking. I'm not going to support candidates. Until there is a hire and fire system, I won't, personally. Because I know the system's broken, and at any time, I should not have to live in fear that this person might turn on me, take that lobbyist money, put their political career over people. I shouldn't have to live in fear. And if we're living in fear that your guy is gonna get unseated in 2 years, whether it be legit or because there's voter fraud, right, which we're screaming about, whatever the case may be, the system is broken. And at what point do we, the people, acknowledge that the system is broken and then do something to fix it? So that's what the assembly does. So that's exactly what everyone needs to do, is acknowledge there's a problem and start the process of really fixing it, not doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. So, I mean, I invite anybody on our calls Thursday, 8 p.m. The link is on our website at nydejour.info. And you can follow us on Instagram and on Facebook and Twitter. And we do have a Clubhouse page 2 on the Clubhouse app. We are trying to grow just to spread the word, because we will be successful. We just need the backing of the people. So we have a lot of things. There's a lot of ways for people to get involved, even if they're not ready to actually sign up. And one of those ways is to get educated. And there's templates on our website for people to complete. You can contract everybody should be contracting their public servants, whether it's your council person, if you're in the city, your county exec, if you're outside the city, your assembly people, your senators, your mayor. These people are supposed to work for you. And their oath of office is nothing more than an offer to contract. And we need to utilize that, because you can't hold them accountable until you turn everything into contract law, because the contract law is the most powerful law in their system. Right. And it's the most legit law. And that's another thing. If you're working for a union and your union has thrown you to the wolves, just know they are breaking contracts somewhere there. Promise. You need to get your union constitution, your bylaws. You need to really study, understand where they're breaking the law. Then you need to put them on notice and contract law. Use contract law. Really use it. So, but you got to do everything the right way, because this American legal system, it's rigged. And we see the judges, right? We look at what's happening in I think it was the teacher's lawsuit or whatever it was, where the judge, you know, has stock in pharmaceuticals. And it's like, come on, man. Like, do we really think that we're getting anything done in the system without us going in, ripping apart the system? And the system is literally a system of enslavement. It's really hard to work in a system like that, you know? So, and that's speaking, my son got thrown out of school, 2019, thrown out of school. I've been homeschooling ever since. So I took my stand a long time ago, and I've watched the system fail me time and time again. And now I'm no longer disappointed because I understand why it's failing me. So now I've acknowledged that there's a problem, and I could start the process of fixing it by educating myself and in working with other people to create real change. And that's making sure that these people are working for us, not who, that they're working for us, no matter who they are, because they've taken an oath, regardless of who they are or where they come from, holding them to that. And that's I think that's something that people really, education is everything. And I think that we will, not on behalf of the assembly, because the assembly can't be affiliated with anything outside. We can't claim affiliation, but maybe as myself or, you know, one of the other members can release a list of websites or people, you know, that maybe you can go to and do your own research. Don't take it from us. Everyone should do their own research, where you can get outside information, right, about private affairs. But, you know, we never give the assembly, we never give advice or direction for private issues. We try not to. I know we did that for a little bit with people's private issues with their jobs and the VAC statuses. We tried to get out of that because it's not assembly business. But that's something that I think it's important at this point. There is such good information out there that I'm still learning every day. So I think that if people just get educated, a light goes on, and then you start seeing things. You're able to say, "Wow, they're trying to catch me out there. This is a con game. This is a violation." You'll be able to say that just because you've been educated, and it's so empowering. And everyone should be doing it, to be quite honest.
Wow, there are so many things that I would love to respond to. Key takeaways, me coming from the music television industry, one of my biggest turnoffs was when I started to really hyper-focus on politics and realized that some of them were being managed just the way I would observe that celebrity talent was being managed by people around them. And there were several times where I saw the union of politics merging with celebrity, because I worked on MTV Choose or Lose, right? And leaving that industry to really hyper focus on just the local community wellness activism that my sister and I have been doing for so many years, it's been disheartening to see local elected officials pretty much melt at the sight of a celebrity. So I see that and I'm like, you know, those were moments where I was starting to question, what are we doing here? When you have somebody who is, people are voting for them because they see them as a celebrity and a rock star. And, you know, we start caring more about their personal issues and not the issues that have to do with the community. You know, like you said, this thing about religious exception, what the heck did this have to do about politics? But they made it one, and they made it one back in 2019, where many of us who had been already paying attention to these little movements, we were like, that makes no sense. Something very sinister is kind of like gearing up to happen here. Why are they targeting, like we said the last time, why are they hyper targeting certain communities? Why are they all of a sudden having zones that were of a certain color that you couldn't go to? And why are all of a sudden people around me staying away from certain community members because they were told to? And I saw how quickly people went in line. I was not surprised when March 2020 happened, and then I saw how quickly everybody put masks on and started social distancing and yelling at people because they had a little nose sticking out of their mask, and somebody who was in the next town over might get sick because of it, or blaming the young children. You know, you can't be around grandma because you might kill grandma. I mean, what kind of messaging were we giving? Were we accepting? Like, to me, the natural human being who's connected to his and her intuition is like going to scream, something here, I don't understand it, but something here is really, really, really wrong. And have we become so docile that so many people complied? I mean, it's almost 3 years over, 3 years later, and, you know, many people are starting to see what we saw back then, but still not fast enough. Still they're yielding, still they're complying, still they went and got their babies jabbed. You know, like I'm so puzzled. And I when I think about when I was asking, you know, I was saying about the resonance that the New York du jour assembly has when you guys are communicating, part of that is largely missing in our communities. Like, we're walking around, and I get it, we're walking around with, like, woe is me. Woe is a lot of us. We've all been betrayed and duped. At some point, we gotta, like, you know, dust off our knees and be like, yo, we gotta do something about this. Like, where is that guerrero energy? Where's that warrior energy, mi gente? We have been betrayed by people who look like us, sound like us, who talk the great game. And one of the things that you, many of the things that you pointed out, a lot of people go into these type of endeavors with good intentions, but then you start getting sold out. You say yes to this and you say, okay, I won't do that. Okay, I won't say this. Okay, I'll stop telling this, that. Okay, I won't push this. And next thing you know, who have you become? You've sold yourself out to the original person of who you were supposed to be in the first place. Shout out to Bravest for Choice. So it's tricky, you know, we find ourselves in August, right? There is, the election is coming up, right? I hear what you're saying. I've been such a non-believer, like I disconnected myself from politics. And yet since COVID started, I have seen how some of the certain sections of politics have been moving under the emergency powers that they keep granting themselves and are enacting all these little regulations and laws that they continue to do so. So, yeah, we're living tricky times. I hear people say all the time, do we vote? Do we not vote? I happen to think that there's still power in local elections and that we should look at that, too. At the same time, I'm with you. Like, we need to figure out how to empower ourselves in all of these departments. You know, like the way the educational system is operating, they kind of want to have rights to even gender your child if they want to, you know, according to them. I mean, this has also affected you as a parent. Can you speak on that some more?
Absolutely. So I decided rather quickly, my husband and I, that we were not going to follow the CDC schedule. My son was, and he ended up in the hospital after routine childhood shots. And I made the conscious decision for my son that these things were hurting him, and they did gaslight me in the hospital, my pediatrician. So I did make the conscious decision to stop, and I lost friends. When I said, you know, I don't think that I'm going to do anymore, you know, and I was willing to do that because I'm a mother first, right? And I think a lot of people on that are listening, they're parents first. They'll do whatever they need to do to protect their child. So I was willing to be that social outcast, whatever. It is what it is. I did have a religious exemption for my son to attend school, and I did lobby against the bill in 2019 that repealed the religious exemption. And we obviously, nothing ever came of that. And I understand why, right? I think more people need to understand that three-letter agencies in general need to be abolished. They actually have no authority over you, zero authority. They're not stated in the Constitution for a reason, because they're just these imaginary agencies that have this imaginary authority, right? The Department of Education is a big one. And as long as the Department of Education oversees every single thing labeled a school, we're going to continue to have a problem. So I quickly realized asking them for an exemption, to be exempt from something, is literally telling them that they have the authority to mandate anything at all where I would need an exemption. So saying that, I have been homeschooling since 2019. And homeschooling is great. But I will say that we do need to come together and do something about the Department of Education, even still having authority over your child through that IHIP, right? You shouldn't have to do any of that stuff. So as homeschool parents or just parents in general, something needs to be done to let the Department of Education know that they do not have the authority, regardless of how many grants or how much public funding every school gets, whether it's a public school, private school, you know, the Catholic schools, the yeshivas, whoever it is, they're all receiving public funding. And as soon as they get that little bit of public funding, it opens floodgates where all of these three-letter agencies, Department of Education, Department of Health, whoever it is, right? They all have access to your school now, and they all have authority over your school. So, these are things, again, and these are things on a personal level I have to work on. And, most of the people on the assembly, most of the mothers, especially that serve on the assembly, they homeschool because we all come from medical freedom and we all fought alongside each other when we lobbied against the bill and we all got kicked out of school together. So it's challenging to homeschool just because, especially in the beginning, I was very afraid, to be quite honest, and I shouldn't have been afraid, but I was. But this is the absolute truth, right? Honest. I was afraid where we didn't go out past a certain time. I did most of my homeschooling, and my son was only six. And we did the majority of our homeschooling in the house, trying to be quiet because I was afraid somebody would call ACS. That was before I really got educated and understood how to handle these three-letter agencies like ACS, which is don't speak to them at all. And at some point I just realized that I'm doing my son a disservice, he needs to be, he's more of a hands-on kid. And that was personal stuff that I dealt with, right? So some people, they've been homeschooling even before that. The treasurer who serves on the assembly, she got her religious exemption denied before we all got kicked out of school. So she had been homeschooling her son prior. So if it wasn't for people like her, shout out to Carla, if it wasn't people like her or people like Cookie, who serves as the chief operation officer on the assembly, if it wasn't people like that who took a stand before and did something out of the ordinary, right? And they were able to help guide people. And if it wasn't for people like them helping me with my IHIP, helping me with my letter of intent, I don't know what I would have done. But, I have returned the favor and I have helped a lot of other people with their letter of intent and helping them with their IHIP and just walking them through it, because it's actually a lot simpler than what we think. So I always think like maybe I'm not doing enough, but then my son is up to date with everything. Like he gets the math. They learn at their speed. And I think there's such that indoctrination, right? That like kids got to learn how to read by four, right? I don't know when that happened, but my kid was like in kindergarten. They were like, your son isn't on a D level. We're going to have to do something about that. And I was like, well, he's here for 6 hours a day. So when does he have time to come home and be 4 or 5 years old and play with dinosaurs, right? So to be quite honest, we put the school system on this like pedestal that it absolutely does not belong on. And we know that there's good teachers and bad teachers, but even the good teachers, their hands are tied with a lot of the stuff they're able to teach or the way they want to teach, right? So I think that a lot of education should be done at home. I also believe that people have been backed into corners and they need school as something for their somewhere for their child to be, right? As childcare. Regardless of the age, while they work, because New York City especially has become a two-income household, right? You really can't survive without making over $100,000 a year, which is crazy, right? But a lot of us have so many ties with pension and insurance and all these other things, union benefits that you want to stay in the city. So it's I know that they, lack of a bed, they have people by the balls, right? And I get it. We need to do a better job I think the answer ultimately is showing the DOE that they don't have authority. It's up to us to abolish every three letter agency, and lawfully, of course. I mean, we're not telling anybody to get their torches and their pitchforks and go to town. It's all done through education and understanding how to get it done. So pulling charters and things of that nature. I think that's the ultimate goal. I'm not saying that I'll never send my son back to school, but as of right now, I feel like homeschooling. And I did. There's a great, just to let everyone know, out in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, very close to me. There's a classical school that opened, Seat of Wisdom, and it is a Catholic school. It's run by kind of rogue people from the Catholic Church who realize there's a problem within the diocese and the Vatican and the Catholic Church, who see that their education is being hijacked as well because of all the government interference in every religion, right? All religions have been hijacked by governments, pretty much. And just going back to the very basics, and they do this by you do homeschool, right? So you sign you do your letter of intent and you're homeschooling, but you do get to send your child to school 5 days a week, 6 hours a day with the after school program. And I mean, it is going to be the same tuition as a Catholic school, but if people do have that and they are backed against the wall, they're looking to expand. I did have the opportunity to send my son to that classical school, and I didn't because I actually I am blessed where I can stay home. I know a lot of people don't have that, so I kept my son home. But I think that we need more schools that are outside of the system for people, right? And then we need more school choice, right? And these things are only done, again, we need to stop depending on politicians to get it done, especially here in New York. New York is a different animal. I know Arizona got something done, and comparing Arizona and New York, apples and oranges. I'm not even sure we can. It's like apples and salamanders, to be quite honest. I don't even think that you can. They're both food at this point. it's totally different, right? So I think that people need to understand where they live and how we need to go about things. And we need to get creative, but we need to get educated and do everything lawfully, not legally, lawfully. So I don't believe we're ever going to have a religious exemption here in New York again. And I don't believe that we need it. And I think we should fight for something much better than a religious exemption. And that's questioning the authority of the people who claim that you need one to begin with. So I don't believe that I'll put my son back in school ever here in New York, even college-wise. And right now, obviously, I'm never getting him up to date. That's the honest truth. It's my personal decision. I am his mother. I carried him for 9 months. So nobody tells me what I'm going to do with my son. Nobody. And maybe that's just the stubborn half Puerto Rican, half Italian in me, or maybe more people need that energy, right? Your hands can't be tied with your kid. We need to find ways. And people can't feel alone. We need to work as community. We need to step up. There needs to be pods. Maybe with we see that the education system is failing more and more people. We see people pulling their child from public education. Unfortunately, put them in private, and they're going to start hitting the private schools because they do have authority over the private schools. And that is kind of the ignorance. And even when I was fighting the HPV bill, there's a bill on the table to mandate HPV and flu. When I was going to these public schools, because I did that boots on the ground, going to schools, going to Catholic schools, standing outside, educating the parents, giving out flyers, there was this like misconception that private schools are outside of the Department of Education jurisdiction. It's just not true. So they're going to fall in line, just like my son can't go to a Catholic school or yeshiva, or a private school, Lutheran school, whatever it is, because everybody repealed the religious exemption. Everyone. When the bill went through, it was anything labeled a school. So this school, Seat of Wisdom, is outside of that because you do have to register as a homeschooler, and then it is basically them taking over from there. So there is a again, some type of academy, whatever they're called in Pennsylvania. I think it's the name is St. Gregory's. That's been operating this way for a long time to stay outside of government jurisdiction. So they're not going to teach CRT, and they're not going to teach, gender labeling unlabeling, whatever we're calling it, right? We're not going to teach any of that. We're going to stick to, you know, the basics and whatever they do, Catholic education, and they're going to teach that without anybody coming in and any political motivation, any influence, any political influence. We're going to do our thing. This is how we're run. If you like it, you pay for it. And if you don't, then you can go elsewhere. And I think that's got to be it. That not everybody has to be politically correct. If you don't like Catholic education, you don't get one, right? But I think that there should be more quote unquote schools like this outside of the DOE. And it's a start, right? And it's a movement. But ultimately, every district should be in charge of their own schools. It should not be one three-letter agency with this tyrannical rule over everything labeled a school. And that's what we're seeing here. And that's where the problem comes in. And again, it's because the system is broken. So I don't, you know, homeschooling for me right now, it works. Again, I'm blessed where I'm able to do it. And I know that's not, unfortunately, not everybody is in that situation. But I do believe as community, we're going to have to come together and help each other and provide more opportunities for people to get their kids out of the system. To make a statement that and fight while we're doing it, because like I said, there's a fight even for homeschoolers. That IHIP, they have no authority over your children, and we need to really question, where do you get authority, or where does your authority derive over my child? We need to start asking them the hard questions, right? And then we subpoena for those answers in court when filing the administrative courts and make them answer them, since they're the hard questions that they don't want to answer because they actually don't have any authority, period. So these are things that we need to do.
What you're saying, like, I had a conversation with Dion Powell from Blexit, and he was mentioning that that very thing, that a principal reported a bunch of parents, I guess, to ACS because the parents pulled the children out of the school. But you're making it seem like they're doing it because they're being irresponsible, but you've given people no choice. I mean, you're offering other choices, right? This is why we're having this conversation. Like, when you think there's no choices, you kind of, when your back's against the wall, you start to see and investigate that there have been people who have already created a precedent because they've had or experienced something similar, or they saw this coming way down the pike, way down the pike. I mean, me being the auntie of two beautiful, a niece and a nephew, I've heard my sister struggle with these conversations throughout the entire time the kids were going through school. And what I kept being shocked about was how tedious it was when you or parent wanted to be like, well, I don't think my child needs that vaccination. No, I don't really think that we need that. Throughout all of these years, and how quiet. Like, I could, this is what I didn't understand back then. I'm talking about, this was like 5-8+ years ago. And I'm like, but why is it like that? Or why is this such secrecy? Why don't they want you to know? Like, then I had no idea what a kind of indoctrination system this was. And I got to say that all I've seen from just being an observer is, you know, when I've spoken to some teachers, teachers do feel like tied because they don't feel the curriculum is really being supportive of a student's ultimate expansion and in intellect and wisdom. They've cut play. they're not making it fun. I feel like a lot of kids are coming out of the system just more angry, more depressed, more confused, more anxious to take a test. Like, what about school? Has anything FUN fun has been taken out, and it's more rules, act like this, don't be like that, be more robotic. It's like you're taking the human out of the human, and you can't do that. No wonder all of these things are breaking down: the education system, the law system, the political system. Like, and I guess I hear you in between time, mi gente. In between time, you got to make your own decision. And, you know, I myself, just speaking for Ra, not speaking for Cafecito Break or anybody else, I myself am going to make sure that I'm voting locally for local elected officials. And I don't want the witch who's the New York governor to be back again. Yet I do understand so fully what you're saying, Jeannie. You're creating, it's like it's temporary solutions, it's living in fear. We don't know how they're gonna come back. It's like it's a bully system. I'm tired of living like this. What I like and what I find enriching and inspiring and speaking with people like yourself and speaking to the Freedom Siblings is that, one, I feel like we're really legitimately not only creating change, but we're creating solid communities, communities of people that I never not want to be a part of. Like when I think about the people that I've been building with, such as yourself, I'm like, you know, I like all these people so much. I hope that we continue to build and continue to fortify and continue to uplift and educate. Like this is, you know, where God has incarnated me to be. So I feel like we're right on time and things are going to probably get a little bit more crazy as we start going into the fall. But mi gente, reach out to us. Reach out to people like us. You don't have to do this alone, but also understand that there's a lot happening on this end también. As we wind down the show, I just wanted to say thank you so much. You are a wealth of knowledge and
you
leave me feeling like a warrior woman every single time I talk to you. So thank you so much, Jeannie. I really appreciate you. I appreciate all the work that New York Du Jour Assembly is doing. I appreciate Jam. I was singing a love song to her right before the show.
Same. Thank you for all you do. We appreciate everything you do just for getting us out there and getting the truth out there. These things are very necessary because not everybody has a platform to voice the truth. So you provide that platform and you do a spectacular job at it. Thank you so much.
At your service, an open invitation here, Cafecito Break New York Freedom Rally. We've partnered up on Mondays just to do just that, like to hold space for these conversations because they're going to be ever evolving and expanding. And although we're all different minds, heads, and human beings that look at life just a little bit differently, we all want the same thing. We want the freedom to make the life that God has ordained us with the right to do so. So, you know, I really feel that these moments are really special, and I've seen some of the love shouts that have come in from people who are listening on Rumble. Thank you again. Thank you, Tanairis. Thank you, Kozes. Thank you for people who are tuning in. Thank you, Jam. Please share this show. Cafecito Break is on Rumble. We're doing 3 live streams a week on rumble.com, which is the YouTube and YouTube alternative platform. And please like, share, subscribe. As you know, we're all getting censored here, but we are trying to create this so that you know that this is your community platform for NYC updates. Thank you, Jeannie. Love to you guys.
And thank you.
Hope to have you back on the show again very soon.
Absolutely. We'll be here and see everyone Thursday. Come out. We do have a notice of liability that will be a template that you're going to be able to print out so you could serve the chancellor. So if you want to serve the chancellor, we did create a template for that so we can actually do something really productive while we're marching and voicing, our freedoms. So thank you, everyone, and see everyone Thursday.
Yes, yeah, see everyone on Thursday. Sorry, my mic was muted. I just want to repeat the message from Jeannie. March for Justice this Thursday, August 25th. We're meeting at 3 p.m. in Brooklyn, 65 Court Street at the DOE. And then at 4:30, we're rallying at City Hall. So that's Broadway and Murray. Hashtag end all mandates. Hashtag hands off our kids. Hashtag let us work. Don't be full of tremendous bullshit, community. I'll see you on Thursday. Bye, guys. We love you.
Gente, take a moment to subscribe to Cafecito Break, to tell your familia que nosotros estamos aquí presente.
Don't get the vaccine, you can't go to the supermarket. Don't have the vaccine, you don't show it, can't go to the ball game. Don't have the vaccine, can't go to work. You don't have the vaccine, can't come here. No shirt, no shoes, no service.
I want to be straight with you. there will be no return to the old normal for the foreseeable future. I repeat, there will be no return to the old normal for the foreseeable future.
So people assume we are just going back to the good old world which we had, and everything will be normal again in how we are used to normal, in the old fashion. This is, let's say, fiction. It will not happen.
A vaccine on its own will not end the pandemic.
So if people go out and vote for Eric Adams, you're just getting four more years of Bill de Blasio. Why is it only black and white? Think about that.
This is true that we are not Nazis, we're not white supremacists, and
you're not a white supremacist?
No!
Come on.
Hong Kong. We will not comply.
Why is it only black and white? Think about that. You're going to be the new majority. So Latinos, my advice, stop fighting one another. Dominicans, Puerto Ricans, Mexicans, Central Americans, stop fighting one another. Coalesce your power, and you will be the shot callers in New York City. You deserve it. But if you fight one another, guess what? People like me benefit. Whites, blacks, Asians, don't fight amongst one another. It's your turn. It's your turn to rule the city.
Is everyone's goal is going to be just to be the same, think the same, live the same, dress the same, you know, feel the same? Like, since when has that been a good thing?
Se la robaron, se la robaron.